Hello and welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, energetic healing practitioner, noted public speaker, teacher, and published author. This session will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. Dr. Eileen will be discussing holistic wellness through indigenous traditions from across the globe and across generations. We then invite you to call in and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen here on Healing House Radio. And it is really good to be back and almost having my voice back to normal. You know how you have a cold and you get that little nagging thing that kind of keeps that little cough that just gets left over? Well, I'm in that space. And it, interestingly enough, that does have something to do with today's topic, creatures of habit, which we are. All those little nagging things that kind of stick with us and that we can't quite get a handle on how to get control of. And the things I'm talking about are our habits. The call-in lines are, for our friends down in the L.A. area, is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, it is 877-697-9725. So we are talking today about habits. And one of the things that I would like to share with you is the idea of exactly what do we think of when we think of something that is a habit. And what I'd like to share from you know with you is something from my recently published book, Frequencies. And this is something that was kind of presented to me, information that was presented to me. We create patterns within our energetic field. These patterns are usually categorized with regards to their relationship with either resonance or dissonance. Think of it as a spectrum. At the resonance end of the spectrum, these patterns are called virtues. These are patterns that, you know, we and society in general consider to be admirable. Kindness to strangers, compassion for those less fortunate, and strength and conviction to fight for noble causes. All of these are examples of those what would be defined as virtuous energetic patterns. At the dissonance end of the spectrum are patterns that manifest fear, shame, resentment, negative emotions, things like addiction, violence, and antisocial behavior. Those are all on that end of the spectrum. Now, throughout that middle region, those patterns are benignly defined as habits. Habits are those things that, in some ways, people have a very difficult time kind of taking control of. It's those aspects maybe of our personality or of those things that give us comfort that it's really tough to say no to, and in some cases it can become almost reflex. We can talk about habits that, you know, and light and shadow in all things. We always talk about that. The idea that there are habits that are great. You know, working out every week can be a great habit, or three times a week can be a great habit. They say you're supposed to get, the current theory is that 20 minutes three times a week is an excellent exercise regime. Now, that is a really great habit unless it is attached to something that says, I have to do this, I have to work out. You know, my self-worth is related to how I look, and I am going to work out till I die if I figure it makes me look good. Things like steroid use, things like that. So that takes something that is a really good habit, a really healthy habit, and it creates sort of a shadow aspect to it. Or we can have, you know, some people have the habit where they just cannot sit still. They have to always be getting up. They have to always be doing something. Which, you know, can be a problem if it is something that keeps you from being able to enjoy life. if it's something that it's a good way for you to get motivated, it's a good way for you to, you know, connect with, in some cases, people run in order to connect with their sense of spirituality or go into that meditative place. So we're not looking at habits as either good or bad. They merely exist. The positive or negative aspect of it comes from the energy we put into it and how it affects our lives. I have people I know who smoke, and most people, very bad habit, or they would view that as a very bad habit. Now, they smoke as a part of Native American ceremony, which is an important part of Native American ceremony, and that's something that is a part of their spirituality. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just when the habit itself controls whether or not you do it, and it is no longer conscious thought as far as why you're doing it. We do habits because they make us feel good. They're a part of a pattern that works for us. The question is it something that's really, really working for you, or is it just something that makes you feel comfortable? I have a habit of, if I'm upset or if I really, you know, am in a stressful situation, I want salty carbohydrates. I want French fries, I want potato chips, I want, you know, and that was a habit that I had, you know, through most of my life. And now when I get into those stressful situations, that's what I want, but I have to take it in the perspective of, okay, is this really what I want, or do I want to feel safe? Is this habit that I have something that is comforting me, or is it just masking over what I feel bad about, only to give me something else to feel bad about later, which would be gaining weight? So that is a habit that I work with. And people have different habits. We have habits as to how we deal with people in our lives. You know, even if it's something akin to, you know, you see on the caller ID that it's a particular person that you really don't want to deal with generally. And so what do? Let it go to voicemail. Because that is a habit of aversion. It's a habit of avoidance. And that habit may serve us. Or maybe we need to go, you know what, yeah, appreciate that you called, but I really can't talk to you right now. That's a lot harder because that can create confrontation. Generally, when we create a habit, there's a reason we created that habit, whether it's to protect ourselves or to protect somebody else. It may be that you have a habit of biting your tongue around people because you don't want to say things that may hurt them. We have habits in our relationships. We have habits with ourselves. We have spiritual habits. You know, it may be that a particular spiritual practice requires some type of a ritual, and we get into the habit of just doing that by rote, doing that ritual by rote. When I get up in the morning and I go to walk my dogs, my habit is that as soon as I step out of the house, I start my prayer for the morning, and I pray until I'm done praying. But prayer while I'm walking my dogs is the first thing I do as soon as I leave the house. That has become a habit. If I don't do that, or if for some reason my mind is very, you know, clicked into something else, and I realize I've gotten through half my walk and I didn't do my prayer, I feel off. I don't feel as balanced. I don't feel as much myself because it's a habit that I've gotten into that works for me. And it reminds me to be in that place of my spirituality. It reminds me to be in that place of gratitude because pretty much my prayers are just a list of all the things that I'm grateful for. And when I don't do that, it feels off. I mean, it could be, you know, I know of people who every morning they shower in the exact same way. And have you ever noticed how, like, you know, when you shower, it's like, okay, I'm going to start with this arm, then I'm going to go this, or I start with my face and then work my way down, or, you know, I start with my feet and work my way up. At some point, if you have a pattern as to how you, even something as simple as doing that, switch it up and see how that feels. Because I did it, and it felt really, really off. And, you know, just seeing how a habit as unconscious and as basic as what is the order that you take a shower in, you know, what do you wash your arms or legs first? Little habits like that can actually have big repercussions when we don't fall into alignment with it. And it can really, you know, from something as small as that to something as big as, you know, alcoholism or drug addiction. It's not about what we're doing. It's about how it makes us feel. It's not about that particular habit being, well, it's a good habit, it's a bad habit. It's neither. It's a habit. How it applies to your life determines whether or not for you it's a good habit or a bad habit. So, you know, number one, take the judgment out of your habits and look at it from the perspective of, is this something that really serves me? Is it something that gives me, you know, sort of like an emotional pacifier, you know, that I can get comfort from in this space that I'm in, but I still have to deal with these other things later? I hear people often use phrases like, well, that's just me. That's just how I do things. That's just how I am. I'm not going to change. I can't change. And the idea that they surrender their ability to choose based on what is the easiest way to be. You know, when you're dealing with, when you're dealing with a dog and they're doing something you don't want them to do, or just in walking them, you want them to walk next to you, but their thing is to stick their nose everywhere and be roaming around and pulling and all of that stuff. The dog has no conscious choice. It's just, it's a creature of patterns. And if that's the pattern of every walk you do, that they're going to run around and stop and pee on everything, that is, and if your habit is to allow it, then you both have established a pattern that until you change it, it is assumed that it works. If you want the dog to walk next to you and not be able, you know, not to run all over the place or pull on the leash, what you need to do is establish a new pattern. Animals will fall into new patterns very quickly. When I got my dog Sam, and he was just, you know, constantly pulling, constantly, you know, yanking and redirecting. And I had to make a conscious choice that, no, that particular pattern does not work for me. That is not what I'm looking for. So what I do is take it out of the perception that, well, that's just the dog. The dog is going to do what the dog wants, and I cannot control that. What we can do at that point is make a choice. And choosing really goes very much hand in hand with habit. Because when it becomes something that we don't feel that we can make a choice over, that it's merely a reaction that our body is going to make. My body is going to crave. I shifted my perception around as soon as I get stressed, I go straight for French fries. I shifted that saying, you know what, I really don't want the French fries. I just want to feel safe. And I'm not going to agree that I have to have the French fries and that the French fries will make me safe. You take it out of an unconscious action and make it conscious. And, the best part of that is just being able to choose. Now, if I think about it, no, I don't need the French fries. I want the French fries, but I don't need them. And if at that point I choose to have the French fries, well, doggone it, I'm going to enjoy them. And I enjoy them knowing that that's my choice. The problem is when we go into that place of believing that the habit is more powerful than we are, that the need for it is more powerful than we are, and that we surrender our autonomy and our personal authority to an action, which in many cases is not as much an action as a reaction, stimulus response. So, you know, people get stressed, maybe they go for alcohol. Other people get stressed, maybe they go for a cigarette. And with certain habits, such as alcohol and cigarettes and medications and things like that, a physical demand is created. It's not just a psychological, I need this to feel better. I am not physically addicted to French fries. And if I were a consistent coffee drinker, if I, you know, grabbed a beer every time that, you know, I felt stressed out, yes, the body will create a need for it, because then the body will say, okay, that makes us, if it doesn't make us feel better, it'll at least make us feel nothing. And sometimes when we want to have something take us out of that place of stress, we go into that place of, I want to either feel better or nothing. Those are my two goals. Neither one will change the circumstances. Neither one will, you know, make the problem not be there when you finish going through your coping mechanism. The problem's still going to be there, and in fact, you may have additional problems. But the idea that we can be in control of what we choose. I know someone who says that it is their habit to just say whatever they want, and they will not consider the feelings of the people they're talking to. That they will say, you know what, you know, hey, to heck with them. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to be edgy, and I'm going to be, you know, a part of that, you know, kind of dynamic that it allows me to feel like I'm controlling someone else. If I can make someone else agitated, I can control them. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, if that helps you feel safe, God bless, just that means people are not going to want to talk to you very much. It means that you still need something from outside of yourself in order to feel okay. So let's look at some ways that habits can be turned around, that we can turn around our perception of those things that we get stuck in. And it's tricky. And these things don't happen overnight. It takes time and it takes repetition to retrain ourselves and to establish new patterns in ways that will serve us. So let's say that, you know, we'll use me and my passion for French fries that I think you guys have all caught up on now. The idea of saying, you know what, I need something. The positive side of that is that as soon as I crave French fries, it immediately now puts me into the space of, okay, where am I not feeling right? Where am I feeling off? Where has this, you know, why is this particular pattern triggered for me? And what it does is it allows me to take a very objective view about where I am in that moment. You know, am I scared about something? Has it, you know, has something thrown me off, so it creates insecurity? That is a way that even the what would be defined as bad habits, they are signals to us that something is not right within ourselves. So if we take it out of the cause and effect, you know, I'm stressed, I'm going to do this, and just leave ourselves that little gap of time in between saying, okay, I want this, let me take a look at why. What is it that's going on with me that I need this right now? And then it shifts from reaction to choice. Will you choose to indulge in whatever that habit is? That is your choice. But it creates a situation where that habit, even that negative habit, can be something that signals us that we need to pay attention to it. And that's one of the best things about it, because even as we shift out of that space of immediately going for what it is that we want or what it is that we need and saying, you know what, this is a great way for me to refocus myself. It goes from unconscious to conscious. You know, if you have a habit that is, you know, something that is, like I said, you know, you could have a great habit like I'm going to run every day. When that habit becomes an obsession, when that habit becomes something you cannot do without, then it becomes a signal. It becomes a signal for, okay, why do I feel I need to do this? What is it that is triggering this? And in most cases, it's something that is keeping us from feeling safe, that's keeping us from feeling empowered. And when, you know, we look at what do we do, you know, comfort foods, the whole idea of fried comfort, then for some reason, fried foods are really comfortable for people. Or sweets, or something that we feel is an indulgence for us. I'm treating myself well. The same could be said for people who, say, you know, go into excessive amounts of alcohol. I deserve this. I'm stressed out. This takes away the stress. Well, no, it doesn't. And in cases such as alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, and in many cases with certain foods that we cannot control the habit of making ourselves feel better by going through this particular avenue, that means that it's time for us to bring in help. It's time to reach out to someone or a group that can help us understand why is it that that habit is so important to us, especially if it's a habit that can disrupt your life, if it's a habit that can shorten your life, or if it's a habit that, you know, while it may not even be a big deal, it kind of irritates the people around us. I knew someone who would consistently sit down and clip their toenails right in the middle of a group of people. And it's like, really? Seriously? You know, and in my mind, it's like, you know, that really is kind of gross. That really, and it's just what they would do. They would sit there, you know, we'd be hanging out and sitting around and, oh, yeah, you know, maybe we'll watch a movie or something, and out come the clippers. And it was something that this person did out of habit. They didn't even really notice that they were doing it. Until I said, whoa, really? I was like, what? I said, you're going to clip your toenails right here? He didn't even think about it. He didn't realize that that was something that was, wow, this might be considered inappropriate. Because it was just a comfort thing for him. For him, it was actually, you know, a comfort piece. You know, if he's feeling a little stressed for some reason, clipping his toenails helped him to feel really balanced and really normal. So when other people come up to you, you know, who have these habits, you know, let's really work hard on not going into judgment. Because even something that seems like a goofy habit may be important to them. And also understand that there's a difference between a habit and something that is a part of obsessive compulsive disorder. If a person has to wash their hands like 5 times or 10 times before they can leave, or they have to count a certain number of steps, that's not a habit. That is something that, you know, you cannot just consciously override. That has to do with brain chemistry. That is physiology. So it's important to give absolute respect and consideration for those who are struggling with that, because there's a huge population of folks who struggle with that. If they could just stop, they would just stop. You know, it's not fun for them. But because of certain things that are on a physiological level, that cannot be altered. That needs a little bit of extra help. That needs some additional work. But just because somebody does something in a repetitive manner, or, you know, is kind of trapped in that loop, you know, let's be real kind with them, folks. You know, let's just, and, you know, for those of you who struggle with that, you know, absolute blessings, absolute. You know, because I know that it is not something that is your choice. It's not just about, well, just let the hat sit on the floor. Maybe they can. So it's important to really discern a habit from something that is, you know, just beyond someone's control at that point. It doesn't mean that you never be able to control it. It just means that you need extra help. And having compassion shown to people who are working those pieces, you know, that's just a really, really cool thing. And it's really important that we share in that and support each other in the best ways, no matter what our habits are. And remember, our habits make us human. We are divine beings having a human experience. And a part of that human experience is habit. And, just, you know, being able to be patient with ourselves. Don't beat yourself up if you can't override the habit right in that moment. Or maybe it takes work not to want to get the French fries when you're irritated. Looking at it as a signal. Looking at it as, okay, what is this telling me right now? What am I not recognizing in myself? I'm not recognizing the amount of stress I'm under. And maybe it's been building up for a while, but you end up going into that place and into that space of accepting it without judgment. And then from that place, that non-judgmental place, that's where you decide, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that serves me in some way? Or is this something that is merely a signal for something else? So I want to thank everybody for listening in today. I've got some stuff coming up. I've got, for those of you in the Bay Area, on March 4th, I will be at the Center for Creative Living at 1460 Cole Circle doing a book signing and lecture. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. The service goes from like 10 to 11:30, and I'll be speaking on my book, and afterwards I'll be doing a book signing. And if you come up and say you are a Healing House Radio listener, you will get your book for free, and I will sign it for you, and you can say hello. Also, I want to encourage everybody to check out the meetup group, meetup.com group, for Divine Events. And so you go to meetup.com, and you can just search Divine Events, and it will bring you to the meetup group that I'm associated with that is run by my teacher, Norbert Granado, and he's got some very cool stuff coming up. So that's at meetup.com. And then look for Divine Events. You can find out more information about my book at www.frequenciesthebook.com. And you can also find out about me and my office and the stuff I do at www.the-healing-house.com. And for those of you who are in the chat room, if you hang out for a few more minutes, I will come into the chat room. And if you have any questions for me or comments or anything like that, you can let me know. And for those of you who are not in the Bay Area, what you can do is get in touch with me. You can either reach me through one of those two websites, which is frequenciesthebook.com or the-healing-house.com, and get a hold of me, email me, and let me know, hey, I would love for you to come out and visit us out in Wisconsin or wherever else. I mean, heck, I love to travel. So we can talk about that. Other than that, we are done for this week. I look forward to meeting up with you guys next week. And I will be here at 2 p.m. on Thursday, as usual. And I just want to send out blessings to everyone. Thank you for listening. And just really be gentle with yourself, because we are, in fact, creatures of habit. Habits are neither good nor bad. They merely exist. And the goodness or badness of it is just how we decide to perceive it. Don't let other people judge your habits, because they certainly don't want theirs judged. Don't judge the habits of others unless you really know what's behind it. And just be really gentle with yourself. If you've got a habit you want to change, first change your relationship with the idea of the habit. Look at it objectively and see if on some level it actually serves you. So I want everybody to have a wonderful week. And like I said, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to get a hold of me. You can contact me through one of my websites, and you can also reach me at my office number at 408-372-2840. So for Healing House Radio, for me, and for my ever-vescent producer, Kina, who handles my chat room, I wish you all a blessed, wonderful day, a blessed, wonderful week, and absolute gentleness in how you deal with the world, how the world deals with you, and how you deal with yourself. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful week. Take care. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio.